I like it. I like that song there, but I like it. We're not our own. And that is true. That is true. All right, Landon, did you give him papers out? All right. Slacking on, my boy. All right. They're handing you a paper there, and we'll be looking at that tonight. We're in Colossians chapter 3. You can go ahead and turn there if you want to. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll start there. We're going through the book of Colossians, and there's a lot involved in the book of Colossians, as we have seen already. All right, so we'll give him just a moment to hand him out. Be a front and a back. It's not two papers. It should be a front and a back. So. All right. I will get it lined out here. If they didn't start at the front. They'll get you. They'll get you. Maybe. Come on, guys. You got all these people up front. Yeah. No. All right. Hey, are we set yet? Yeah, we got the best. Well, we ain't got nobody, ain't nobody like us. Let's say that. We're unique. Has everybody got a paper? How about up in the crow's nest? Y'all got one? All right. Everybody else got one? All right. All right. Everybody okay?
Sure.
Well, let's pray together then. Father, we come tonight. Lord, we sure do thank you for all that you do for us. And Lord, we look at that list that we just, the prayer list, there's so many added, so many needs, and Lord, it's so much bigger than us, but it's not bigger than you. So Lord, we can trust you with that. And for every situation, even here tonight in the church house, Lord, I know there's needs, physical needs, mental needs, spiritual needs. And again, Lord, you're sufficient in every area. Lord, for those watching by live stream, Lord, we are glad they are with us tonight and ask you to help them. Some would be here, but they're unable to because of health, and but they're watching faithfully tonight. And Lord, I pray this evening that you might just to give them a special blessing. Speak to our heart tonight, I pray, touch me fresh. Cleanse me, forgive me of anything that is like sin. Lord, I don't want to be wrong with you at all. And Lord, cleanse me that I might have your touch tonight to preach and teach as you see fit. And may you receive all glory. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's look, just get right started right here in the book of Colossians again, chapter 3. As we know, the book of Colossians is a prison epistle from the Apostle Paul. And as he's writing to the church at Colossae, Colossians and Ephesians go hand in hand. And in Colossians, we've been looking at the preeminence of Christ. He's great. He's number one. He's above all. He is first place in everything. And that's the way it is. That's just the way it is. He's first place in everything. And just for a quick review, very quick review, preeminence in chapter 1, he was preeminence in a gospel. He was preeminence in redemption. He was preeminent in creation. He was preeminent in the church. He was preeminent in reconciliation. And he was preeminent in the ministry. We've seen all that in chapter 1. There's nobody any greater. He's first place in every area that we are in. He's first place. Then we looked at chapter 2, and we saw the preeminence of Christ over man's ideas, philosophy and traditions and the things that man would like to do their own way. And we've seen an encouragement to walk in Christ. We've seen the warning of false teachers, the fullness of Christ, that He is God. I want to stress that again tonight. Christ, Jesus Christ, is God in the flesh. Everything that God is, you read about, is combined in Jesus Christ in the flesh. He is God, and He is our Savior. And you must know Him as Savior. Without Him, to hell you'll go. It's just that simple. You must know Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You must know Jesus Christ. So we've seen the fullness of Christ, that He's God. Then we've seen that we are complete in Him, Christ alone. We need nothing else. There's nothing else to add to. There's nothing else we can want. He gives us everything. He is everything. We saw that. Then we saw that we have complete sufficiency in Christ. He supplies everything. That all of our sufficiency is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Not only am I complete in Him, but then He gives me every little thing. He's everything. You don't get no better than what Christ is, and you can't add to Him at all. And then we look there in chapter 2 that Christ won the victory over everything for us. He won the victory over, He abolished everything when He rose from the grave. Satan was put in His place. He triumphed over him openly. And we are free from the law. We're free completely. Everything in Christ. Now it brings us to chapter 3. Now here's where things are going to get a little bit different. I told you last week we've done had a wonderful time in chapter 2, especially about Him being God and the complete in Him and all the things that He done for us, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, all these things. But I said we can rejoice in chapter 2, but chapter 3 will make us mad because we're guilty of the things that chapter 3 says not to do. And we don't do what chapter 3 says to do. We're lacking on both areas. And we don't think things matter, but little things matter. And what we're going to find in chapter 3 is what the Christian life is. All right, living the Christian life is chapter 3 of Colossians. All right, and it's for everybody that's a believer. All right, and if you are not saved, then you have no life. All right, but if you are saved, then this is our example. This is the instruction in how we are to be. So we look at chapter 3 and we see the preeminence of Christ in our life. All right, now we've seen the preeminence of Christ in all these other things. Now it's in our life. He's supposed to be first in our life. Does everybody understand that? Christ's supposed to be first place. He didn't save us to be second. He saved us to be first place. If He's not first place, then we have things out of order. And that's just that simple. If He's not first place, then we are the ones that's wrong. He's not expected too much. He's not way up here and unattainable. No. He is first place, and He wants to be first place in our life. And if He's not first place, He don't play second place. If He's not first place, He don't play at all. All right? And you're on your own. It's just that simple. Now, if you'll read there with me, so we will see we cannot live the Christian life apart from Him. Now, all these things we're going to be looking at in chapter 3, we have no strength in ourselves to do this. It's got to be Christ in us. Everybody understand that? It's got to be Christ in us. And that was the main verse in chapter 1. Christ in us, hope of glory, that we have Jesus Christ in us. I don't want us to ever forget that when you get saved, that the Lord moves in your heart. When you get saved, when you get born again, Christ comes inside and he does not rebuild your life. He gives you a new life. He gives you a brand new life, and that life is empowered by him, strengthened by him to live the way he said to live. Everything in the Word of God that he says for us to do can be done if we'll do it. If we don't rebel against it. But we have a problem of rebellion naturally. And we're so prone to go our own way. Look in John chapter 15. The Gospel of John chapter 15. And look at verse 5. Jesus is teaching here, and he said simply this, John chapter 15, verse 5. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now, I want us to understand that we can't do nothing without the Lord. We got to have him. For me to live the life he wants me to live, I cannot do it apart from him. Well, it would be foolish to think that I could. But why would I think living a Christian life apart from him would be a Christian life? You know, that wouldn't make sense anyway. Right? So a lot of people say they're saved. A lot of people say, yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But they don't know Christ. They've never been born again. They've never repented of sin and self and trusted Jesus Christ who died on Calvary for our sins. They've never done that. But yeah, they've went to church or baptized or they think they're good or done good works. But it's got to be Christ in you. You got to be born again. You got to trust Christ as your Savior. Now, listen carefully. Although we cannot do anything without him, all right, we are expected to do some things with him. All right? Although, now think about this. Although we cannot do anything without him, we are expected to do some things with him. Think about that. Now, let's look here at chapter 3. If you got your Bibles, you need your Bibles for this, really. And I don't know that they can keep up with me upstairs there. But if we look, I got you some words there. It said, look at these words in chapter 3. And we look at them here in Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 1. It says, seek those things. Verse 2 says, set your affections. Verse 5 says, mortify therefore your members. Verse 8 says to put off. All right? All these things. Then it says to put on. All right? Now that's not putting on as pretending, but to literally put on something. All right? Then it says, verse 13, it says forbear. All right? Verse 15 says let. Verse 16 says let. Verse 17 there in the middle says do all. Verse 18 will tell us to submit. Verse 19 will tell us to love. Verse 20 will tell us to obey. Verse 21 will tell us to provoke not. 22 will tell us to obey. You understand? Verse 24 tells us to serve. All of them are action words. All of them are things we are to do that is not going to be done for you. Alright? Now Christ will do everything that's necessary for us. He saves us. We can't save ourselves. He justifies us because we can't justify ourselves. He sets us apart because we cannot set ourselves apart. He glorifies us because we cannot glorify ourselves. Okay? We can't do them things. He does that. Then he promises never to leave us, never to forsake us. He promises that he will strengthen us, empower us, give us peace. All these things he'll do. But the things I just read is our end of it. That he expects us to do. Not to get saved, but because we are saved. Not in order to go to heaven, but because we are going to heaven. Not in order to gain anything other than obedience in Christ. And when we get down here and start looking at these things, we're gonna see, it's tight living. but it's not hard living. All right? Look in verses 1 through 4 now. Let's read them together. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 4 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And we'll stop there on the first four verses there just for a moment. And let's go back to verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, meaning if you're saved, if you've been given a new life, you're risen and new life in Christ. If that's the way it is, that's what you say. You say you're saved. If you say that's the way it is, you've been raised alive in Jesus Christ, then seek those things which are above. If that's what you are, if you're saved, then seek the things which are above. Do you understand that? If you're saved, then that's what you ought to be doing. You ought to be seeking the things which are above. Or to look for, that's what seek means. To look for, to inquire, to desire. The things where God is, the godly things. It's what we ought to be seeking. We ought to be seeking the godly life, a godly path, godly direction. We ought to be seeking godly counsel, godly companionship. We ought to be seeking everything that God has laid out. All right? Everybody understand that? We ought to be seeking the things of God. Now, then it goes on and says this. It says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. In harmony with God, in perfection with God. Now you say, am I seeking perfection? No, I'm seeking the perfect things of God. Didn't say I was perfect. I'm seeking the perfect things of God. I'm seeking the relationship with the Son and the Father. I'm seeking that fellowship with I believe does not 1 John chapter 1 tell us that our fellowship is with the Son and with the Father. Does that not what it says? If we walk in the light as Christ in the light, we have fellowship, and our fellowship is with the Son and with the Father. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 1. Are we okay? Everybody with me? So we are to seek these things. Let me ask you, if we just start there, how many, don't answer me out loud or with a hand, but how many seek the things of God? We'll gladly accept the things of God, but how many seek the things of God? How many of us get up of a morning and seek the simplicity of the simple things that God has for us? Now, look at verse 2. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. All right? We are to set our affections on things above. To set or to focus or to make priority is our priority. The things of the Lord. I'm asking. Think about it. Is it? What is our priority? Now, it may not be for everyone, but on the average, the priority is self. On the average, it's what pleases self. And we work away, we work around our day to please self in some way. To make it easy, to make it comfortable, to have more. And you say, is anything wrong? I didn't say that there's anything wrong with it. I would have said that's not to be the priority. It says to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. See, we forget that we're not citizens here no longer. When we got saved, we changed our citizenship that we don't live here. We're just passing through here. But we're trying to take as much stuff with us of the world. And that makes no sense. We're going on. We're going to another place. We're going to another land. All right? But our affection, I'm afraid, for the majority, the affections are not on things above. Our priority is to be the things of God, not on earthly things or material things. Why? Because these things make us lose focus. And we must do this ourselves. We must seek and we must set. These are things we must do. It's not going to be done for us. This is a Christian life. Everybody listen to me? That's why when Jesus was preaching the gospel, he said, before you build a tower, you better count the cost. Now that was concerning salvation because it costs you something to be a Christian. Now it don't cost you money, but you're going to have to turn loose the world. Amen, preacher. We're going to have to turn loose the world. Because the world ain't got nothing for us. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the Bible said. For if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. That's what he says. Is that what he says? Y'all sure? See, we're just on verse 2 and it's already tight living. Because of the way we live, the way we choose. But this is normal Christian living. Alright? Normal Christian living. See, there's supposed to be a change in us. That's why it's not supposed to be hard on us. Look in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And let's look at verses 6 and 7. John chapter 3. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus here, telling him about being born again. And look at verse 6. He said, now that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We understand that. Our old nature, we understand what's born of flesh. And we got a lot of fleshly desires, a lot of fleshly wants, and all these things, we got that. But something changes. It says, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. So we get a new spirit. We get a new life. He don't come in and rebuild our old life and prop up what's been broke down and put a timber under what's rotted and try to bring, but no, he gives us a brand new life, and that brand new life is in Christ, and because we have that new life in Christ, then he empowers us to live the way he said to live, but we're going to have to turn loose of the world to do it. And it's something we got to do on a purpose. It ain't going to come. It ain't just going to happen. We got to choose to do it. There are some things that take place. Let's look here. Look here in verse 3. Verse 3 says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we're dead with Christ. We're supposed to be dead with Christ to the world. That's what we're supposed to be. Dead to the world. Let's go back up to verse 1. If you be then live, risen with Christ. Well, we're living risen with Christ and are alive in him. We're dead to the world and alive to Jesus Christ. Everybody follow me? Now, where the rub comes in, all right, where the rub comes in on us is we get saved and we look around and think we have a lot. Down here. But all this is going to perish. It's just temporary. It's all going to be burnt up and vanish away. But what we have in Christ is eternal. And we got so much more in Christ. So much more in Christ that it ought not bother us to step aside from this. We still okay? Look back at verse 3. It says, for you are dead and your life is hid. Alright? So we're dead with Christ to the world. We're risen with Christ and alive in him. And then we're hidden in Christ with God. I'm hidden. Listen, I'm protected that the world can't hurt me. I'm saved from the penalty of sin. I'm saved from the power of sin. And someday I'll be saved from the presence of sin. And I'm hid with Christ in God. And I got the strength of God in me because there's Christ in me. Amen. Hope of glory. I don't have to fight all this alone. I've got Christ with me. I can do this. Huh? Amen. See, we say, oh, it's too hard. No, I got Christ in me. But it's where my desire comes. It's where my affection. See, he says, set your affection. The things you love. All right? You can't love everything. There's some things we're going to have to hate. Huh? The Bible says there are six things God hates. Seven is abomination. We ought to hate them things. We ought to hate what God hates. We ought to love what God loves. But we're going somewhere. We're going to have to turn loose of the world. We've had such a hold on the world that after we got saved, we brought the world on back into the church. We brought them back into our life. And that's why you can't tell a lot of difference in a lot of places. You can't tell a lot of difference in the world and the actions of the Christian, because we ain't seeking the things above and we're not setting our affections on things above. And that's just the truth of it. Then look at verse 4. It says, when Christ, who is our life. Now look at that. When Christ, who is our life. Who is our life? You know what we... Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, boy, I love him. He's my life. Yeah. Well, if he is, then the Lord ain't. Well, she's my life. Well, she is, the Lord ain't. Well, listen, my life's my job. Well, that means the Lord ain't. Because it says Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Now, this is, there may be many that don't agree, but can I tell you, he's more than my spouse. He's more than my children. He's more than my grandchildren. He's more than my friends. He's more. He said, well, I don't know about that. Well, he's either number one or he ain't. He's either number one or he ain't. And if he ain't number one, then he's nothing. Because he can't be number two. He refuses to be number two. If he ain't number one, he steps aside. Are you listening to me? If he's not number one, he steps aside and lets you go at your own. And then we'll see how big a mess we got. Huh? Think about it. We're talking about Christ. We're not talking about a little God. We're talking about the God of glory. All right? Everybody still with me here? Now, verse 4 says, for when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So not only are we dead with Christ to the world, we're risen with Christ and alive in him. We're hidden in Christ with God, and then we're glorified with Christ, it says there in verse 4. We have it all in Christ. Everybody see that? Now, the next 20 verses. All right, if you look here at your paper, the next 20 verses we need to understand now is the normal Christian life. It's not the super spiritual life. Can I tell you that if you get anybody trying to live like verses 5 through 25, then there'll be people that you go to church with will think or make a remark that you think you're super spiritual. Because they're not going to try it, and they're not going to like it if you do. The closer you live to Christ, the lonelier it gets. Because others don't like it. And that's just the truth of the matter. They'll find fault. They'll criticize. They'll try to cause you to stumble. Huh? The body. I've never understood how the body can act like that. I've never understood how the body can intentionally try to hurt another part of the body. You know, I've smashed my finger many a time. But I never done it on purpose. You know what? I've drilled holes in my thumbs and my fingers many times to relieve the pressure where I've beat them off with the hammers or caught them in pieces of steel or something. You know, I've been sewed up. My fingers have been sewed on. It ain't been that long ago. Just had that hand sewed up, you know. But I didn't do none of that on purpose. I didn't want to injure my body. You know, I fell off the house. Can I tell you, I didn't do that on purpose. You know, I got blowed up the plan, but I didn't say, hey, I wonder if I could get blowed up today. No, I didn't do it. All them things, but I didn't injure my body. How come we as Christians try to decide to hurt the body? And you say, why would you say that? Well, we're going to look at it. So let's just start here in verse 5. We've got some time here. Let's start here in verse 5. Now remember, these are things we are to do. Seek and set. Seek those things which are above and set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, it don't mean you can't have things. That ain't what we're saying. It's where our affection is. It don't mean that we can't have houses and there's nothing wrong with having a gun or a fishing pole or there ain't nothing wrong with these things. But if it becomes our priority, then Christ has lost the preeminence in our life. He is preeminent. He is number one. And these things that the Lord has allowed us to have to give us joy, that we can enjoy, we turn around and make that the God we worship instead of Christ. Everybody understand that? Nothing wrong with money. All right? Nothing wrong with money. If you're a trillionaire, that's wonderful. But it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Not money, the love, where the affection is. Where the affection. Everybody understand that? So when it talks about love not the world, that's our affection. See, the scripture runs together. I can't have that number one. Everybody still with me? Now look at verse 5. This is something we have to do now. Mortify. Therefore, remember, kill off. All right? We need to kill off that old man. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. We are to die to self. We are to die to self. All right? So let's see what the scripture says. Look in Galatians 2. Galatians 2, verse 20. It said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm crucified with Christ. I need to die out. I'm supposed to be crucified with Christ. Paul said I die daily. Can I tell you, it ain't a one-time thing. We're going to have to die daily because these things are going to come upon us. Look in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Verse 23 simply says this, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. See, that crucifying self, that mortifying our members, our body, that's denying self is what it becomes. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That explains it so simple right there. Let me read it again. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, speaking of Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Everybody understand that? How about chapter 14? Romans chapter 14, verse 7. Says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. See, we're to mortify. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians now. Everybody still with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now this is the Christian life. The Christian life is not coming to church singing a song. The Christian life is not going downstairs and teaching a class. The Christian life is not carrying a Bible and putting money in the pot. That's not the Christian life. That might be things we do, but these things are the Christian life. How we live, how we conduct ourselves, how we exemplify Christ, how we show forth Christ in our life. That's the Christian life. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15 says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." We're not supposed to live to ourselves. We're supposed to live into Christ, live for Christ. See, the preeminence in our life. Is everybody following me tonight? Is everybody with me? Everybody understand what I'm saying? He's first place. He's to be first place. Is he not worth first place? Oh, yeah. I wonder, is he not worth first place? I mean, we're talking about God who left heaven and come down and put on a robe of flesh to live like me and you, to suffer, to bleed and die, to die on an old rugged cross for our sins, to be buried, rose again, ascend into heaven, to promise to come back and get us. Is he not worth us living for? Yes. And if that's not worth it, then I don't know what else we could get. So we see then, back in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, to mortify. Now, look at these first four things in verse 5. Did you notice? Now, think of the day we're living in. We're going to finish up right here on this verse. The day we're living in, do you know that these first four things is sexual sin? If you'll look at what goes on today, and where everybody's mind and what everybody's actions are. And then here we have it written right in the Word of God. It says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Fornication. That's just sexual sins. Well, it's sexual sin, but we don't call it sin no more. We don't call it sin no more. But it still is. All right. Then uncleanness. All right. That's anything that defiles. Anything that defiles. Inordinate affection. All right. That's depraved desires. A state of mind that excites sexual impurities. That's what that is. Inordinate affection. And that's that. Is commonplace today. That's commonplace there. It's commonplace in a church house. You can expect it to be commonplace at the tractor bar. You know, the tractor bar is a good example of Satan purting up sin. Because it's probably the purtiest beer joint you'll ever find. And all the frills and fancies around it. But when you go inside the door, you've got adultery and fornication and drunkenness and blasphemies and all the things that's in there that adds and cripples and corrupts and tears apart and is accepted even by the churches in our town who want the tractor bar and their advertisements and all the things that goes on and get in the parade for St. Patrick's Day so we can all publish the tractor bar and it's all out of hell. Amen. Every bit of it. But we can't say too much about sin. That's our friends. Well, we are to be friends of sinners. Huh? But we ain't to run with them. Huh? We ain't to run with them. All right, we got fornication, sexual sins, uncleanness, anything that defiles, inordinate affection, depraved desires, a state of mind that excites sexual impurities. Evil concupiscence. I almost had it. It's that abnormally strong sexual desire, focus, or mindset which have grown through being wrongly stirred. That's what that is. The TV, Walmart. Let me ask you a question. Would it be proper for me to have these young girls go over and sing in their underwear? That wouldn't be proper? Why would that not be proper? But we'll go to the beach and let them wear their underwear. What's the difference? We call it a bikini at the beach. We call it underwear. I just want us to understand that there's a line that we've crossed, and it's not in the Christian life and not in the Christian living, but it's living for the world. And it's not popular, but it's true.
Yes, sir.
You know? I mean, even to where, I think it's not proper to wear your underwear to where you can see it. You ought to probably wear underwear, but not the where you can see it, to Walmart. Go to Walmart. You don't have to go to the beach, just go to Walmart. Now, and we're wondering why it says to mortify, to kill off that old man. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. I said it. And covetous, which is idolatry. Covetous. Greed, seeking satisfaction in possessions instead of God. And that's what we mentioned a while ago, which it turns into worshiping a God when it becomes stuff. When we're more interested in stuff than we are the Savior. Well, that's down to verse 5. Come back next week and we'll start on verse 6. All right? As we look at Colossians chapter 3, the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life. All right, we'll see you.